Education continues to be the issue that's dominating the minds of most Pennsylvania voters. With a gubernatorial election just 2 weeks out, WHYY education reporter Kevin McCrory compares incumbent Republican Tom Corbett with Democratic challenger Tom Wolf.
Okay, first off, to answer the looming question, did Tom Corbett cut $1 billion from public K-12 education? That question can be answered in different ways, and it all depends on what you count and how you count it.
Aha! Greetings, class, and welcome to counting school, where what you learn really counts.
If you say yes, Corbett did cut the money, here's how your logic goes, as put together by Democrat Tom Wolf. You note that actual classroom spending decreased because Corbett didn't replace the federal stimulus funds that former Governor Ed Rendell used to prop up schools through the early years of the recession. You point out that, by contrast, he made up for the stimulus funds lost by the Departments of Correction and Public Welfare. Here was Wolf at a teachers union event in August.
Education was a conscious cut, was a conscious redirection of priorities. I would not have had those same priorities.
If you're making the anti-Corbett case, you insist that he should have been more creative in where he found cash for education.
Things like decriminalizing marijuana, legalizing medical marijuana, those things alone would stop a big chunk of the flow immediately, the flow of people into our prisons, and reduce the need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars each year on new prisons.
Corbett also cut the extra money Rendell had been sending to districts to defray the costs of charter schools. This hurt urban districts like Philadelphia, Reading, and York especially.
There are good charter schools, but I think we need to make sure that the funding for charter schools is fair.
If you're anti-Corbett, you also don't count any of the money he poured into the state employee pension system, which is the lifeblood of the state's retired teachers. Your argument is that voters should look mostly at class sizes, classroom resources, and local property taxes. In the last 4 years, each has gone in the wrong direction. If, on the other hand, you say no, the billion-dollar cut line is baloney, here's how you do your math, as explained by none other than Governor Corbett himself. Rendell should never have used federal stimulus funding to prop up education, you say. Everyone knew it was merely intended to be a shot in the arm, not something to count on for years to come. Here's Corbett at the second debate.
Because that's when the cut took place. You cannot deny that.
To really replace the stimulus money, he says, would have required draining other important parts of the state budget. Here's Corbett at an interview with WHYY.
I had a choice of going back and taking money out of the areas that state money was moved to from the budget and putting it back in, and chose not to. Okay, so yes, that was a choice.
The other option would have been steep tax increases, which Corbett says would have crippled the state's economic recovery. Instead, Corbett says he counted on school districts themselves to rein in spending.
We look to the school districts to control their spending. Because it's there. They're the ones that make the decision how much they're going to spend.
Pension costs, the pro-Corbett camp says, are an important part of the equation and can't be ignored. They've dramatically risen over the past few years and are a big reason school districts are hard-pressed to maintain classroom spending. For the state to delay its share of pension payments would do school districts no favors while putting the pension fund on a shaky path for years to come.
My predecessor reduced the payments to pensions. He took state money out, replaced it with federal money. You knew that that was going to come up short, and he walked away from it.
Corbett thinks the media have been unfair to him on education, and if his platform were a song, it'd be this one from The Animals. A few points undercut Corbett's position. His early budgets cut some form of education aid that had nothing to do with stimulus cash. He ended his first year in office with a more than $600 million surplus, and he pushed tax cuts for businesses that have reduced revenues by $1.2 billion since he took office. Now, if Tom Wolf's platform was a song, it'd be this one by Etta James.
Trust in me. In all you do, have the faith I have in you.
trust that he'll be able to get his ambitious agenda through the General Assembly that will likely still be under Republican control. Trust that he'll be able to get a 5% statewide tax on natural gas drilling, which Corbett is against. Trust that he'll get through a higher income tax rate on Pennsylvania's top earners, again, which Corbett is against. And trust that the Pennsylvania House of Representatives will say anything but...
No, 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 no.
How likely is that? Muhlenberg College political science professor Chris Borick says Wolf's agenda is possible, but will require political savvy and compromise.
Maybe offer some support on other areas, things that Republicans are looking for, and bargain. So if Republicans are looking to make movement on something like school choice policies or liquor store privatization, maybe to work out some compromises. If they find some commonality, if he's willing to deal on some other issues, there's an opening.
At an interview at WHYY Studios, Wolf told me that he'd be able to break through partisan gridlock. What's going to change when you come in?
The new governor.
Just you being there. The cult of personality.
I think I'm sensing that there are enough people in the legislature in both parties who recognize that we've got to make some changes. And the Marcellus Shale tax is an easy one.
Despite their differences, both Corbett and Wolf see education as the top issue on voters' minds. So each will be singing this line every day until November 4th.
I believe the children are our future.
For WHYY News, I'm Kevin McCory.